that you've already read this morning, Psalm 134. Psalm 134. You turn there in your Bibles. Trust you've already taken time to read this morning, and God just directed me to go back and encourage you or challenge you how we ought to enter the house of God. Psalm 134, you find your place there. It's right about in the middle of your Bible. Looks like it is the middle of my Bible. Psalm 134, it's only three verses long. And you stand in respect of the Word of God as we read. In fact, let's read it together in unison. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord hath made heaven and earth. Bless thee out of Zion. Father, we come to you today not only seeking your blessing, but seeking you to know that you're here with us. Lord, we've already given ourselves to prayer, dedication to this house today, and given ourselves to these psalms we're going to look at this morning. God, I pray that you would teach us how to approach and not only the throne of God, but to approach God Himself in the sanctuary. Bless now our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. You have a seat if you will. This is the last of the Psalms of what? The Psalms of Degrees. I want to talk to you about entering God's house. You know, you've gone to people's house as a guest before, right? When we were kids, it didn't dawn on me that we didn't get invited to many people's house, our family. When you got 13 kids, you don't get invited too often to people's house as a mob. And when we did, it was a mob. When you enter people's house, so I had to kind of learn this a little later in life, how to enter someone's house as a guest. First of all, if you're going to enter, you need to do what? You better knock. You just don't go in unannounced. And then, of course, you ask to enter, right? And you might go in and some houses, and we require it of our house for at least our children. We haven't got quite trained all of them all the time to take off your shoes when you come in to the house. We don't want your... Especially Mama gets a little upset when there's muddy footprints in the house and everything, and trying to keep things clean. And you show respect to the rulers, the rules, I guess I should say, of those that live in that house. When you're a guest in somebody's house, when you go as a guest, you want to dress appropriately. You don't just, some folks are... run around in their own homes with very little clothes on. We've never done that, but you wouldn't do that in someone else's house, I hope. You would be dressed appropriately, you'd behave appropriately because you're a guest in that house. And I'm going to talk to you this morning about how we enter the house of the Lord. Now, we enter the presence of God into His house. And of course, we come with reverential worship, I call it, humbling ourselves before Him. We ask admission before we come in. We come with fear and gratitude. It would be good to have a healthy fear for God today. In a world that has no fear of God, and we wonder where they get that, because God's people, I think, don't fear God, and myself included, like we ought to fear God. We come with gratitude. I even got in the habit a long time ago, because I read it in the Bible, how Moses took his shoes off when he came to the presence of God. How God commands us to come humbly, to bow before Him. Remember the parable that Jesus gave when we're invited to His presence, and Jesus looked around the crowd and saw someone without a proper wedding garment, the proper clothing. And he said, cast them out. In other words, we need to come into God's house with the proper clothing. Not necessarily what we bring of our own good, but what He gives us to dress or be robed in His righteousness. We come into a house as a guest. We ought to even seek opportunities to serve. I'm grateful that my wife gives a good example and taught our daughters when, you know, it comes time to clean up the dishes, you get up and help clean up things. When it's time to leave, you help clean things up, put things away, and notice things that need to be done around the house. Notice opportunities to serve God. Now, when we talk about entering the house of God, we think of the Old Testament. Of course, we read a verse from the Old Testament. And God refers to different places as His house. He spoke of a number of places as holy places where God met with people, or they built an altar and met with God and said, this is a holy place. And later on in Moses, we see him building a tabernacle for God, where God would meet with His people. And that was a very special, sacred place that you couldn't just wander in there unannounced. You couldn't just treat it like it's your own home. It was a very special place. And of course, later, Solomon built the first temple that David designed, and David desired the temple of God. And again, it was built after the pattern of the tabernacle of the Old Testament. But this is referred to as the house of God. As Abraham met with God, the book of Hebrews says that Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God Himself. He wasn't satisfied with some earthly temple. And even Solomon said that the heavens cannot contain the glory of God on God Himself. But this is the place where God meets with His people. And then we come to the New Testament, of course. We think of the house of God as the church. The church is not a building. The church is the assembling of God's people, the place where God meets with His people. It's not a temple or a shrine, but it is a building where we gather together as God's people, where the church meets inside of that building. I'm grateful we have a building, aren't you? Grateful for the place that we can gather together on days like this. I'm grateful that this building has air conditioning. I'm grateful that the pews have backs on them. I'm grateful for all the things that God's given. And sometimes it becomes an extra burden to upkeep the building that the church meets in. But this building is not the church. The Bible talks about the church being the house of God. And again, we're not speaking of a specific building, but the place where God meets with His people. And my house ought to first and foremost be a house of prayer. And we're commanded, of course, by the Lord Jesus Christ to abide in Christ, to live in His presence, to be a part of the spiritual household of faith. God gives us instructions of how to enter the house of God. I'm afraid sometimes that we don't listen to God's instructions very well, do we? We have a movement today. Well, I'm going to come just as I am. I'm going to come. Now, that's fine when you come into the emergency room, but once you're there, you ought to get cleaned up a little bit. Amen? I'm glad that God accepts us just how we are. I'm glad when I came to Him broken and bleeding and dying in my sin that He accepted me just as I am. But I found out that He likes to patch us up and fix us up a little bit. My desire is to be biblical in everything, not just in my appearance. You know, we talk about sometimes, we used to say when we were kids, putting on your Sunday best. You ever heard that term before? You put on your Sunday best. Well, we do that, of course, to show respect to the presence of God, the house of God. Now, I understand that we come to Him as a hell-bound, condemned sinner. And God picks us up out of that miry clay, and you're dirty when God picks you up out of the miry clay. But He wants to set our feet on the solid rock. And God's more concerned about not our outward appearance. Now, some of you clean up pretty good. Some of us takes a lot of work to clean us up pretty good. But God's more concerned with the inside than He is with the outside. And God's more concerned about preparing our soul and spirit to meet with God than He is putting on a new dress or new clothes or whatever to come to the house of God. We come to church to meet with God. I hope that's why we come. It's an important appointment. I'm grateful when our children were home, I took each one of them aside and talked to them individually for about some things, and some of the older grandkids, and talking to one of them about having a relationship with God. You know, I was use this illustration. You ever preparing for a trip and you can't wait to go, maybe you're going to go see Grandma and Grandpa, right? And the night before, or going on a hunting trip or something spiritual, like a fishing trip or something, or you're going away for a while. And boy, you're so excited to go there, and you can't even sleep that night. You're so thrilled about going there, and you get up with anticipation. I mean, you're up early and ready to go long before you would normally be out of bed because you're anticipating something. And reality is, that's how it ought to be when we have a walk with God. Hello? That's how it ought to be every day when you get, I can't wait to get up and talk to the Lord. I find anymore it's hard to sleep past 4 o'clock in the morning, especially on Sunday. Man, this is the day we get to walk with God. We get to talk to God today. I'm so excited and looking forward to this day that we can come into God's house. And we're going to come with our Bible. We're going to come with a notepad. We're going to come paying close attention. And we're ready to hear from God. And I've been encouraging you, as God's been showing me, to be biblical, not just in name, but in practice. God gave us 15 Psalms for this reason, how to come into the house of God. Now, we read the last of the 15. We'd like to say, boy, when we come, we're excited about it. We're ready to sing and we're shouting hallelujah. We're lifting our hands in glory to God. But I found you don't get that way if you skip the first 14 chapters. Now, I'm going to go back and look at those 14 chapters, very quick, those 15 chapters, the Psalms of Degrees. These are 15 Psalms, and it's no coincidence they were given to us immediately after the longest of all of the Psalms, Psalm 119, which emphasizes our love and our relationship to the Word of God. If we don't have a relationship with the Word of God, we don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If we don't have a walk with Him, if we're not in the book, we're not in His presence. And this is where it starts. We've been in the book all week. We've been studying the book all week. And now it's time to come into the house of God. The Psalms of Degrees. The word degrees means a journey upward. A step up. It means climbing higher. Ascending higher. I'm climbing higher. Yes, higher someday. I'm going higher to stay. Oh, I'm thinking of a lot of songs there. Lord, lift me up to higher ground. We're climbing up, and each step leads us closer to Him. Let's go back and start in Psalm 120. Of course, you read these this morning, preparing to come to the house of God. You put your Sunday best on. I hope you put your spiritual Sunday best on to come into the house of God. And let's just very quickly look through these Psalms this morning and read them. Well, we're not going to read all of them. I'm just going to read a couple of excerpts and show you some things from these great Psalms of Degrees. Psalm 120, first of all, is the psalm, the first of the Psalms of Degrees. It says, in my distress I cried unto the Lord, and He heard me. You ever been to that place? In my distress I cried, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips, from the deceitful tongue. I come, first of all, in distress. Now that word distress means a tightness. Figuratively, it means a trouble. You're between a rock and a hard place, we might say today. I'm thinking of an illustration that was given in a definition that I was studying of that word. It speaks of a female rivalry. Oh boy, you ever seen a woman fight? A cat fight, I was going to say. Women fight with each other. Boy, there's no rules with those kind of fights. There's no holds barred from those kind of fights. And I was thinking of, and I was using that illustration. And the word adversary. Remember when Hannah was entering the house of God, and Elijah came, and Eli. thought that she was drunk. She was beside herself. And she said, my adversary, this other wife that I was against. That our adversary, in my distress, in my adversity, in my affliction, in my anguish, in my tribulation, in my trouble, I came to the house of the Lord. And I'm so glad that He heard me. Amen. That God hears us when we come to Him. And notice in verse number 7, and I'm not going to read all of the psalm, but verse number 7, I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. You know, it looks like we're talking about an enemy, my enemy. But I realized this a long time ago, that my greatest enemy that I face every day is the one that I look at in the mirror, is myself. That's my greatest enemy. And I come realizing, God, I messed up again this week. God, I failed You again this week. I come in distress. And then in Psalm 121, we heard this a few times this week. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. I look up to God. This is the place where God has designated that we meet with Him. In verse number 7 and 8, look at the verses there. Verse number 7 and 8 in Psalm 121. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even from evermore, forevermore. I realized that my first step was to realize my need, my wickedness. And then I realized my help comes from the Lord. And by the way, if you're walking up, where are your eyes going to be going? They're going to be looking up. And as you come to that second step, you look up a little bit farther. And then I think that I can picture here David going into the house of God, or later on the psalmist going into the house of God, looking up past the city of Jerusalem to the hills that surround that city, looking up for the hills from whence cometh my help. And then Psalm 122. Notice Psalm 122, it says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Oh, I was glad when they said unto me, the joy and fellowship is with God's people. And notice this in verse number 1 and 2. I becomes us and our. Isn't that important? When it's, you know, I entered, but when I got in, it was us. It was our. We come into God's presence and the presence of God's people. I was glad. I needed that. I needed to be in the presence of God's people. And verse number 7-9 says, the Lord shall preserve, verse number 7, peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren, companions' sake, I will not say peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. There's peace. There's that unity inside the house of God because we're meeting with Christ. We become one in Christ. When our heart is right, when my heart's not right, I'm not going to have much unity in the house of God. When my heart's right with God, when I get together with God's people, there's that calmness, there's that peace in the presence of God's people. And then Psalm 123, the next psalm, of degrees. It says in verse number 1 and 2, unto thee lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in heaven. Behold, as the eyes of the servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of the maiden of the hand of their mistress, our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until He hath mercy upon us. What this psalm is talking about is our desire is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It talks about the eyes of a servant are on the hand of his master. What's that mean? Oh, he's going to slap me. No. My eyes are attentive to the master. In other words, if I'm a servant, I'm looking for the command before the command's been given. I'm looking for opportunities to serve him. Well, tell me what to do. No, I don't have to be told. I can see by his facial expression what he wants me to do. There's the heart of a servant there. Some folks come in and they plop themselves down and say, well, you don't do that, I hope, when you go to a guest house. So what can I do to help? You know, somebody says, well, come on over to dinner. And ladies are usually good at this. Well, what can I bring? How can I help out? And we get there, we want to help out. There's a heart of a servant. When we come into God's house, we're looking to for someone that needs encouragement. We're looking for someone to be a blessing to. And we're looking for someone to help out. We see what needs to be done before we're asked to do it. That's how we enter the house of God. I lift up mine. Where am I at? I'm in Psalm 123. I'll behold the eye, or the hands of my master, the eyes. My eyes are to him, and I see what needs to be done. Then Psalm 124, the next psalm of the greed. I love these psalms. It's just been a blessing to me to spend time every Sunday morning to go through these psalms. And last Sunday morning, I thought, you know, we ought to just take time to do this. Encourage God's people to enter God's house properly. You know, you wouldn't come to God's house without putting on some clothes first, would you? You wouldn't come to God's house without maybe combing your hair, or without putting some deodorant on. But we come into God's house without being prepared spiritually. And what a tragedy that is. Prepare our soul for entering the house of God. Psalm 124, I discover the grace of God on the next step as I enter the house of God. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, how may Israel say? If it had not been for God, in verse number 2, the first part, if it had not been for the Lord. Notice, if it had not been for God. If it had not been for God, I wouldn't have the strength to get up this morning. If it had not been for the grace of God, for the goodness of God, God's grace is God doing in me and through me what I cannot do on my own. There was a time that I dreaded coming to the house of God. There was a time when I despised the people of God. But now that I've understood some things about the grace of God, I can't get enough of His presence. I can't get enough of being with His people. He's allowed me to escape from my enemies, the cruelties of nature. Notice in verse number 8 of Psalm 124, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. And he talks about in these verses of the cruelties of nature. Now this week, I'm outside most of the time, and our kids are taking them out because there's not room for us in the house to begin with. So we're taking kids outside, and they found a little bunny nest with baby bunnies in there. And they're all concerned about it because all the rain the other day. I thought, well, they're just old enough to get out of the house. And then the rain knocked some little robins out of the house. And they say, oh, we're going to feed these little... You know, people are pretty foolish. And they go, oh, we're going to save it. You know, that happens all the time, but we don't see it, so it doesn't bother us. But now they think, oh, what can we do to rescue these little robins? I remember when I was a kid, you'd find little animals, you think you're going to rescue them. It never works. Chances are they're not going to survive. Their only hope of survival is to just stay far away and let mama take care of them and hope a cat or something doesn't come find them first. But we think, oh, we're going to go rescue them. The reality is that nature itself is a pretty cruel place. But God is merciful. And oh, we can find contentment and grace and from the cruelties of nature, from the cruelties of sin and death. And we can discover God's grace in the house of God. Psalm 125 says, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. A trust in God. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people from henceforth, even forevermore. Think of Elijah. It was Elijah, that his servant said, look at the armies out there. The armies are coming. And he said, open their eyes that they may see that God's got more in His number than what's in our number. Oh, if we look up and see that God's in control, there's safety in His house. There's safety in the house of God. Psalm 125, verse number 5 says, for such are turned aside into their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth, and the workers of the iniquity shall have peace upon Israel. I see in this psalm that we're gathered together in the house of God for safety. We come together in Christ's name. The the place that God has appointed for Christians to meet together. Then Psalm 126 was when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. And he's looking at the history of Israel when they lived for 70 years in captivity, and now they've come rejoicing in their tongue with a song and said among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. They're reminded of the fact that God has delivered us from our enemies, from the world, the heartache, the enslavement. Now we've come into the joyful rejoicing of singing victory. And notice verse 5 and 6 of Psalm 26. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy, and he that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. By the way, did you bring your sheaves this morning? What's that all about? What are our sheaves? What are my sheaves? You think of sheaves as a gift. You know, when you go to somebody's house, you ask, can I bring something? Can I bring you something? That's the sheaves we're bringing to Him. And we come rejoicing, thinking, hey, this is the place. And really, if you picture this, we're bringing a gift. We wrapped it in sheaves. We wrapped it in gift paper. We put it in a bag. And we bring it into the house of God. And we come with rejoicing, with singing. You know, happy birthday to you. Let's open the presents. We're coming with something, and something to rejoice about. We're coming into the house of God to sing His praises. And then Psalm 127, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, that watchman waketh but in vain. And of course, we look at this psalm many times as building biblical homes. And let me say this, the only hope for a community is biblical homes. You know, we're told today that it takes a village to build a home. No, it takes a home to build a village. We got that backwards. It takes godly homes to have a godly community. That's why the devil's out to destroy homes today. And unless we get back to having godly homes and godly families, we'll never have a godly nation again. Now, our forefathers understood that when America was founded. In fact, you find this verse quoted quite often in the writings of the founders of America. And verse number 2 says, it's vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He giveth His beloved sleep. You know, we can make all the laws we want to in our land, but all those laws and decrees are vain and empty. We can't outlaw sin because the only cure for sin is to change people's hearts through the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can outlaw sin and remove the instruments of sin, but what's that going to change? Absolutely nothing. Oh, if we outlaw this because people are using it for criminal activities, we make a law that people can't do that anymore, and that their hearts change, nothing's going to change. Verse number 3 and 4 says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of the mighty man, so are children of the youth. Our strength and prosperity is in the children that we train to live for God. And our joy and security is happy as the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. The greatest blessing in life is to see your children living for and walking with God. And then Psalm 128. These are things that we're reminded of as we come into the house of God. In Psalm 128, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His way. The blessing of fearing God. We don't enter God's presence flippantly. We come with fear. In verse number 4, behold, thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. And then Psalm 129, the next psalm of degrees, as we enter the house of God, we're preparing ourselves to meet with God. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, may Israel now say. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, and yet have they not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed upon my back, they made long their furrows. It's talking about the enemies of God, that God Himself will prevail in the end. In verse number 2, it talks about the plowers plowed. That's speaking of a whip being beaten for the cause of Christ. And I think of Jesus, how He went to the cross, and before He put the cross was put on His back, He was whipped with what? The cat of nine tails, we call it, as it tore His body apart and ripped His flesh in pieces. And yet He was willing to do that for us, and willing to die for us. And God says that He's going to take care of it in the end. He's going to eventually... And by the way, Jesus went through that so you and I could be saved. Aren't you glad He went through that for us? That we can know salvation in Christ. And sometimes we think, well, you know, we've got to take care of things. We've got to do business here. We've got to defend ourselves. Romans 12 immediately comes to my mind when I study this great psalm. And I wish I had time to go into each of these psalms and what God has showed me every Sunday morning and every Wednesday when you come to the house of God and just reading through these psalms and looking at different things. Romans 12 tells us to recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place for wrath. And that place is not in my heart. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And by the way, the picture of Jesus Christ, when He was whipped, His body was torn to shreds. He was hanging on the cross. And He could have zapped every one of us. He could have refused to go there if He wanted to. But instead, He looked down at me after I'd whipped Him, after I put that crown of thorns on His head. And He said, Father, forgive him, for he doesn't know what he's doing. Oh, if we could have that same love for others. We'll never have that same love as Jesus did, but that's what we ought to be thinking about when we come into the house of God. There's not a person in this world that could ever do something that I would want revenge upon them, that I would want to treat them ill or say anything ill about them. Psalm 130, the next psalm of decrees. It says, out of the depths have I cried unto Thee, O Lord, crying from the depths of the agony of my soul. And again, I hear Jesus crying, Father, forgive them. Verse number 6 and 7. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch in the morning. I say more than they that watch in the morning. I can't wait to get up in the morning. I'm looking forward to being in God's house. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption. Thank God for His mercy and His salvation. Psalm 131. I come into the house of God with no understanding, no preconceived notions, but quietly listening and hungering as a child. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters. I don't even try to figure things out, or in things too high for me. I can't even begin. There's no way I could possibly understand the workings of God in my life and in other people's lives. Surely I have behaved quietly and quieted myself. As a child that is weaned from his mother, my soul is even as a weaned child. I don't have to have an answer for everything. I don't have to figure everything out. But I come as a hungering child. And I'll never understand many things. I don't understand things that happen on a daily basis. I don't understand why God allows certain things. But it's not up for me to understand them. I'm just trusting in God and resting in Him. Psalm 132 starts out, Lord, remember David and all his affliction. And there it talks about the life of David, some of the things that David went through in his life. Of course, David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. And we look at David's life and see how he greatly failed. And as we enter the house of God, we realize, God, I messed up this week. God, I failed this week. And if you've not seen that in your own life, it's because you're not listening to God, because we have failed. We have sinned. We have disobeyed God. God, I failed, but I'm glad that when David failed so miserably, he still got up. And he was remembered by God Himself as a man after God's own heart. He failed greatly, but he had a heart for God. May we have a heart for God. And then Psalm 133, and let me say this, that when we think about the Psalms of degrees, and usually when somebody quotes this psalm to me, it's because they got a problem with somebody. And they like to jump to Psalm 133, but you can't skip the first Psalms of degrees to jump to immediately to Psalm 133. And if you do, it's because I'm the problem. And Psalm 133 says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, the sweet fellowship with God's people." And notice again the progression. The fellowship with God's people is only good when I'm right with God. If I'm not right with God, it doesn't matter what anybody does, I'm not going to have sweet fellowship with them. Did you catch that? And some folks say, well, you don't know what they did. I'm grateful for a Sunday school teacher that taught me this early in my Christian life. If I have a problem with someone, it's not their problem, it's my problem. Hello? May I say that again? If I have a problem with someone, it's not my problem, or it's not their problem, it's my problem. And if my fellowship is sweet coming to the house of God, I can guarantee you my fellowship is going to be sweet with God's people. And the right fellowship, and notice this, and I think the emphasis of Psalm 133 is how good it is when we get together, and what a blessing it is to see our children and grandchildren enjoying each other's company and having a fun time together. The thing that this psalm is emphasizing the most is that right fellowship is not only a blessing to us and to those around us, it's even a greater blessing to God Himself. It talks about the sacrifices of God and how pleased God is when God's people are united together. But we want to have that unity without having a right relationship with God. God starts with our heart, with our relationship with Him. And now when our walk is right with Him, when we're trusting in Him and confessing our sins and getting things right with Him, we've taken the time to search our heart and to prepare ourselves to enter the house of God. We come into God's house with great anticipation. I mean, somebody gets up to sing, I want to stand up and sing with them. Somebody gets up and shouts about the glory of God, praise the Lord, hallelujah, I want to join right in. I'm not going to sit back like a bump on a log. I'm excited about being in God's house. In Psalm 134, is where it all concludes, where we started our reading this morning. But this is the climax of all of it. Now we're ready to rejoice in the Lord. Now we're ready to praise the Lord and worship God. Behold, bless ye the Lord, ye the servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. We've been waiting all night to come into God's house. We've been seeking God through the night hours as one that watches in the morning, standing guard of our hearts in the morning as we enter the house of God. And now we come into God's house and we lift up our hands. Can we do that in the Baptist church? I'm not sure if we'll get in trouble for doing that. We lift up our hands and we shout glory, hallelujah. What a blessing it is to be in the presence of God, in the house of God, because we've prepared to enter the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary. Bless the Lord. The Lord has made heaven and earth. Bless thee out of Zion. The word blessed has the idea of radiating that glory back to Him that comes to others. You ever spray paint something? Jacob, you ever spray paint something? I was spray painting something this week. The kids came out and said, "Why, Grandpa, why are you painting the playground?" "I'm not painting the playground, but I'm painting something that's on the playground." And what do you call that stuff that gets all over the playground? The overspray. And that overspray gets all over. And you paint things you didn't mean to. And you come and you praise God, and that overspray affects others around you. And they can't help but to rejoice. Wow. I don't know what that guy's got, but he must be excited about something. And that's the rejoicing in the Lord. And we're rejoicing to be with God. And we're blessing God. And in blessing God, we're blessing others around us. The idea is reflecting that glory. God's been so good to us. We just want to praise Him. Tell Him, God, thank You. I didn't deserve any of Your blessings. You got me through another week. And then when I get to the trials of this life, I get to spend eternity in Your presence. What a good thing. What a great God that we have. And what an encouragement that is to get that overspray on other people. Sometimes when the preacher talks about overspray, they think of the ones that are sitting in the front row. That's the overspray of the preacher. But we had to have that overspray of the glory of God to bless others. Oh, to come into the house of God, to be in His presence, to enjoy the fullness of God's joy, to enjoy His presence in this place is my desire. And I encourage you to jump in to the house of God and not just show up, and not just be here, but prepare yourself to come into the house of God. Prepare yourself to enter into His presence. I learned as a new Christian, they said we should get up early and pray. If you're like me, you get up early and pray, and all that ends up being is a nap time. I'm going to read my Bible. That's not going to work. Get up and say, okay, I'm going to pray. God, thank You for this. And 5 minutes later, you wake up, and then a half hour later, you wake up, it's time to go to work. I guess I missed my prayer time. But I found out this, it's good to prepare yourself to talk to the Lord. It's good to get up and get the blood flowing. It's good to get up and run around the house a couple of times. It's good to get up and get your body moving. It's good when you come into the house of God to prepare yourself to meet with God. And to prepare yourself. If you just roll in when it's time to start and wiping the boogers out of your eyes and everything else, you're not prepared to meet with God. And we need to prepare to meet with God when we come into the house of God. That's what these Psalms were given to us. We want to experience the fullness of God's joy, the presence of God in this place. There's nothing I look forward to more during the week than to be with God's people in God's house. It's not an afterthought. That's where we start. And we prepare ourselves. We're praying for that all week long. And as we enter the house of God, God's given us these Psalms of degrees. It's amazing what God will give us when we go through them as we enter the house of God. Not only to put on our Sunday best physically, but to put on our relationship with God and to get ourselves right with God so we're prepared to meet with God in the morning. Are you prepared to meet with Him today? Now I feel like we're ready to start church. We're ready to join the church now. But it's time to go home. I just encourage you to come into God's house prepared to meet with God. Come to your prayer time prepared to meet with God. Let's have a walk in a relationship with Him like never before. I'm going to ask you to stand.